stand, but nothing ever comes out of any of your hands, out of your hands, with your hands on our face. Oh, we can have it perfect now. What the fuck we got you waiting? Won't you lay with me? Won't you stay with me?
Hello, 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 hello. Here Awakening. Welcome to Radio Patapu. Every Tuesday from 4 till 7. Awakening to try to awake your hearts, your minds, to act for a better world. That's what we are standing for, what we are doing here, trying to awake you. Yeah, we're getting organized. like always, better and better. Recently we managed to update the info about the program in the media and put some links into the old programs. Hopefully soon we will be able to make it much quicker to update the old program, the program from now. You could listen maybe even today evening on the internet. Anyway, we playing our program every Tuesday from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. in Amsterdam. You can listen us in the Ether 88.3 FM in Radio Patapult and everywhere else on www.freeteam.nl/patapu. And on our media, intermedia.blogspot.com, on www.ourmediaintermedia.blogspot.com, you could check the programs from the past. If you would like to embed or download Awakening 7, go to www.archive.org and search Awakening 7. Today, like usual, agenda, next chapter of Guerrilla Gardening and Witte Book Fun Crackers, White Book of Squatting. Main subject would be coming Millionaire Fair and Planet Protest about it, about 5:30. Cookie Mouse would explain to us about International Blogging Workshop, what he's doing every Sunday online and offline in the public library. He would tell us also about campaign, what they're trying to manage about Fair Trade Christmas. And to all positive organizations and to whom it may concern, if you would like to come to on our show called Awakening to talk about ecology, squatting, local politics, food, animal rights, or other interesting subjects, you are more than welcome. The show is streamed through Radio Patapu 88.3 FM every Saturday, every Tuesday from 4 till 6:30. Please write first telling us what you would like to talk about and the time that you would like to start. Give us at least 1 week in advance. Yeah. Okay. Let's start then from agenda. The main subject today would be Millionaires Purs, Millionaires Fairs. Kom ook, bestormen, verpesten, blokkeren, verstoren. Delete the elite. 11 December at 8 Station Rij, Amsterdam. De ongenode hasten. Op donderdag 11 december opent in de Amsterdamse Rij de Millionairsbeurs. Deze besloten bijeenkomst van de allerrijksten is de eindeloze beleving van consumptie van luxe en bijbehorende levensstijl. Dit is een oproep aan iedereen die niet included is en spoegt op dit elitefeest om zich te verenigen met ons, de ongenode gasten, en zichzelf uit te nodigen als ongenode gast. Onze afkeer tegen de miljonairsbeurs komt niet voort uit jaloezie. Het is voor ons een bewuste keus niet tot deze groep te willen behoren. Binnen een rechtvaardige verdeling van kennis, macht en middelen kunnen geen miljonairs bestaan. Niet alleen ons sociaal bewustzijn
behoed ons miljonairs te worden. Het is ook praktisch onmogelijk. Het is namelijk de elite die met haar rijkdommen parasiteren op onze arbeid- en woningnood. Het mag dan ook duidelijk zijn dat er iets tegen deze miljonairs gedaan moet worden. Wij maken ons geen illusies over een overheid die hun bezit eerlijk gaat verdelen. Immers, de economische en politieke elite zijn twee handen op één buik en zullen daardoor nooit wezenlijke veranderingen teweeg brengen. Wij willen dat deze ellendelingen nu worden aangepakt en nu en hun bezit wordt afgepakt. Het zou niemand in de wereld schaden wanneer deze klasse ophoudt te bestaan, dat deze extreme rijkdom en perverse consumptie definitief van het toneel verdwijnt. In deze tijden van opkomende crisis, waar wereldwijd miljoenen mensen uit de onderklasse getroffen worden, is het extra ziek dat de elite haar miljoenenfeest uitbundig viert. Dus nodig jezelf ook uit en kom 11 december samen met ons naar de RAI in Amsterdam om je woede te outen. Kom alleen 11 december, 8 uur station RAI, de ogen ook. De gasten. Soon I will read the English translation and in Polish quarter Polish translation. November 2008, socialists, anarchists and artists have all announced their own protest at the Millionaire Fair, the yearly event for Novox, Rich and Wannabes, which will be held at the RAI from 11 till 15 December. On Thursday, 11 December, a coalition consisting of the social assistance recipients organization Bystand Bond, Turkish Workers Organization DADF, the International Socialist and the Socialist Party will hold a protest at the entrance of their fair, starting at 7:30. Let the rich pay for the crisis will be the message. While millions of non-millionaires are very concerned about the impact of the economic crisis, others have no idea how to spend their heaps of money. This absurd contradiction cries out for protest. The initiators explain. They call on supporters to bring banners, plates, whistles, flags, pots and pans. On the same day, a group that calls itself the uninvited guests will organize a protest with a more anarchist angle. The motivation is similar. In this emerging crisis which will hurt millions of low-class people around the world. It is sicker than ever for the elite to exuberantly celebrate its multi-million euro party. We want those bastards dealt with and their property taken away from them. The anarchists will meet at 8 p.m. sharp at the railway station in order to storm, ruin, block, disrupt the fair. On Sunday, 14 December, Community Art Project, the mobile picnic table, will set up its table at the fair in order to ask visitors critical questions on poverty. This initiative will also be supported by the Bystands Bond. There are posters, flyers, you can get them and spread them, stick them and hang on your windows and be creative to spread the message. They are available in Fort van Schaikow on Jodebreestraat 24, in Port Café Eikenaardig, Verbindingstraat 19 and Café Molly, Vanostade Straat 55, daily open from 9 till 1 in the evening. Also in Info Cafe Bolox, Erste Schinkel Straat, open from 2 till 4. And in Monday, from 2 till 7, open from Monday till Saturday. I heard there was nice benefit for X minus Y in Saturday with the Caspian Hat Dance. The Caspian Hat Dance is back in the city. Again, active with the concerts, very nice band. If you ever hear about the concerts where they are playing, go there and have a fun. If you like the folk, gypsy, klezmer, Balkan, chaos music, that you will like it. But another benefit for X minus Y Solidarity Funds, 40 year in action anniversary, would be in 7 December from 3 till 11. Latin American Chill Out Film Marathon met Corte Films, Docus, Live Music, Fun Song 5, and 10 Tempis, Tapas, Live Interviews, and me more. Entrance €3 at Overtoom 301 over in Amsterdam. For alle activiteiten geldt X-Y donateurs hebben gratis toegang. Je kunt ook ter plekke donateur worden. Voor meer details hou de website in de gaten www.x-y.nl. X-Y is een onafhankelijk fonds dat al 40 jaar wereldwijd lokale groepen en organisaties ondersteunt. Het zijn allemaal groepen die actief proberen om in hun samenleving structurele verbeteringen aan te brengen. Om te vieren dat wij dit al 40 jaar doen en om de aandacht te vestigen op thema's die wij belangrijk vinden, hebben wij een aantal activiteiten georganiseerd. Ja, dat is... X minus Y is independent funds which 40 years already supporting an independent organizations. And 7 December from 3 till 11 at Overtoom 301 for €3 there would be evening with the movies and Live Music, Fun Song 5 and 10 piece. That's it about. Reggae Explosion, Friday 12 December from 10 to 3 night, €5, featuring Milk and the Flavor Coalition, Pepe Pulup and the Evolutionaires, Sound System. That's in Zandam. Okay, that's more or less all about the leaflets. We don't have blacklist anymore. Pity. Very pity, because it made our work much easier, our life too. Okay, let's check what's going to happen according to agenda on indymedia.nl. That was the Cope. It's still Cope. Today in, at Molly is a permaculture info evening with two nice movies about Bill Mollis making the permaculture gardens around the world. Yeah, more detailed program for 7 December, X minus Y benefit. Program at 3, Opus Dei, A Quiet Crusade, from Chile 2007, the movie. Quarter past 4, Heart of Factory, Argentina 2008. Quarter past 6, Pause, Live Music, Medson 5 and 10 Tempis and Cocktails. Half past 7, presentation of the X minus Y Latin America section with talks, activists, short films and information. At 8, short film about the Mapuche communities contra Benetton, Guest Rafael Relief, Stichting Folil. Half past 8, Hotel Gondolin, Argentina 2005. And half past 9, The Three Burials of Malguides Estrada, film director Tommy Lee Jones. All the films are with subtitles in English. From 3 till 11, address Overtum 301, entrance €3. And what are all about the movies? Opus Dei, A Quiet Crusade, is a documentary inside the heart of the most influential and secret organization of Catholic Church, an unpublished travel to the world of Christian fundamentalism, where the dream of put the cross in the middle of the world becomes true. This film reveals not only an effective mechanism to conquest the power in Chile, but wondered about the real political and ideological aspirations of this organization. Heart of the Factory. The employees of Zanon, a tile factory in the northwest of Argentina, have been in control ever since the director declared the company bankrupt in 2001. For the time being, things are going well for the new Zanon. There has even been some new job creation. The key idea is the word compañero, which stands for collegiality, solidarity, and a fair distribution of work and income. In the middle of the production process and in measured tone, the compañeros discuss the direction of the company, their company. It's no easy task keeping things on track in a political and economic climate that is not crazy about the workers' control. With support from the local population, the employees have managed to withstand various attempts at eviction. Nevertheless, the biggest threat would appear to come from within. The self-determination they have obtained has increased their personal responsibility, but that demands a persistent and productive fundamental attitude. The age-old tradition of heavy-handed repression and shameless corruption that Argentina is famous for cannot be wiped away in just a few years, but the fire of change is burning strong enough, just as the factory ovens have never stopped burning. A film about 7 years of autogestion of the recovered factory Zanon, first shown at the IDFA 2008. And the next movie would be Hotel Gondolin. The Gondolin Hotel in Buenos Aires is the home of 30 transvestites and one transsexual who work as prostitutes as the unique alternative to survive in a society that excludes them. This film focuses on the importance of freedom of gender identity. The everyday life of the transvestites in the hotel, street prostitution, and their rising difficulties with the neighbors and the local authorities. And the next movie is The Three Burials of Malquides Estrada. The director Tommy Lee Jones from USA and France. Malquides Estrada, an illegal immigrant from Mexico, is shot and buried in a shallow grave in the high desert of West Texas, inspired by the real-life shooting of the Ezequiel Hernandez. His body is found and reburied in a local cemetery. After kidnapping the killer and forcing him to disinter the body, Pete Perkins, Malquides' best friend and employer, undertakes a dangerous and quixotic journey on horseback into Mexico, with his captive in tow and Malquides' body tied to a mule. All the films are with subtitles in English. More information, www.x-y.nl. Lapesford Info Tour. Na twee succesvolle avonden in Haarlem en Utrecht gaan wij verder waar wij waren gebleven. De mensen van het Lapesford zijn weer uit de Boomhausen neergedaald en stoppen vanavond nog in Zaandam om daar hun verhaal te doen. Tijdens deze infoavonden zal er een beeld gegeven worden van de situatie in en om het Lapesfordbos in Brug. Verschillende onderwerpen, zoals de eigenaar, het kappen van het bos, het begrip zonnevreemd enzovoort, zullen aan de orde komen. Ook is er de gelegenheid om vragen aan de bezitters te stellen. Inmiddels zijn er ook een paar nieuwe data en locaties bekend. Zaandam, 2 december om 8 uur, Eetcafé De Schaft, AV Savorin Lomanstraat 11, Amsterdam, 4 december, 8 uur, Molly van Ostadestraat 55, Grand Floor, dat in 4 december at 8 would be info evening about Lapesford at Molly van Ostadestraat 55 in Amsterdam. In Den Bosch, 16 januari, 8 uur, Knoflook, Havendijk en Leiden in Planning, Emmen in Planning. Wil je jouw stad ook in het rijtje hebben staan? Stuur dan FF een mailtje naar info@groenfront.nl. You could check more information on www.groenfront.nl. Yeah, that's the forest in Lapesford Bos in Brugge in Belgium is since more than 2 months already occupied by activists, activists of Groen Front, Groen Gordel Front, the Dutch and Belgian version of Air First, and other ecologists, they are occupying it against cutting 3.5 of the hectares of the forest park in the Brug, a very special forest, one of the last or even last non-cultivated by human forest in the Belgium and Holland. And yeah, they're living together without electricity and other comforts of civilization. They managed to build a big house, the fort, and also they managed to build 17 or 19 tree houses, which would be difficult to evict, and they are every day ready for eviction, and they are every day improving. And yeah, I admire those guys that in the winter they manage to be there to occupy it. I was there, and maybe the weather is cold, but the atmosphere is very warm, and it's very nice. And anybody who would like to come for December, you could get information. Some small movies would be shown. You could find out more about, and yeah, and the best is to go there to see. I would recommend it to anybody. It's very nice to be in nature, be active, and be useful. Yeah, we were talking in one of the radio program. If you like to hear those things in more detailed way, you could get the program on our media, intermedia.blogspot.com. Fire to the prison for out now. Fire to the prison for is an is insurrectionary anarchist quarterly periodical that is distributed all over the world. It is intended to provoke a strong community of revolutionary solidarity. Every issue focuses on anarchist analysis, political prisoner awareness, action conducted in solidarity with others. Prisons and campaigns, indigenous solidarity and more. The article content for this issue is listed below. Report back from 2008 Republican National Convention, Hipsters of the World. We are so fucking boring by anonymous hipster. To do away with doubt, to drown empty words by Ron, a crow. Prisoners, updates and links, revolutionary solidarity reports, a chapter of the solidarity of attack, a brief chronology of North American prisoner resistance, insurgent ferocity, the playful violence of rebellion by feral faun, security tip for the ambitious dispossessed, confronting snitch culture, historical examples and current proposals, a tribute to Sally Grace, links and other projects. You could get PDF, all more information are on the in the media.nl and also in Fortfan Shakio you can get it, I think.
Atomowa elektrownia, piosenka z repertuaru bliskiej nam kapeli ze Słupska, Ewa Braun. Chodziła to jakiś czas, także nie wcześniej padał do Nowa fala mnie przekonać, był dzień, że prawie uwierzyłem. Dziejne fakty i gazety mówiły co innego. Nowa uśmiechała się.
International Dissent Meeting from 16 to 18 of January. The 3rd and 4th of April, representatives of the countries member of NATO will meet again to celebrate their 60 years of domination, but also in order to develop their new plan to defend freedom and quoting the terms of their own generals. A great strategy for an uncertain world. From the 1st to the 5th April 2009, we will be present in Strasbourg and we will oppose their globalization by force. With the creativity of our actions of resistance, direct actions, blockades, civil disobedience, demonstrations, meetings, debates, alternative village, conference centers, autonomous arts, concerts, etc. The success of this counter summit also depends on an efficient international network which enables to succeed in taking decisions and preparing actions for the next NATO summit in April and for the longer term. This network process has always been carried out, but most of the time, sporadically, connections faded or even got lost after each counter summit. Re-establishing them at a distance takes time to be truly effective. Reasons why we propose a meeting. The international meeting of the radical resistance movements will be held on the 17th and 18th January 2009 in Strasbourg. It aims to strengthen international networks and achieve concrete actions during the counter summit. This would be the only international decent assembly before the NATO summit. A strong mobilization and the presence of all on this occasion is essential. Blowing NATO in the wind. In order to shorten the discussion, we ask participants to kindly send us a survey of the status of their mobilization against the NATO summit. This will allow us to prepare a note on each country and to ease discussions by avoiding endless presentations. This is a proposal for an agenda. Please send us your comments and your propositions of modification of the program before the 19th January. At this date, we will send a more detailed invitation. The program is on intermedia.nl. Amsterdam, studenten demonstratie, 3 december om 12 uur, centrum. Het bestuur van de Universiteit van Amsterdam mag studenten geen kosten in rekening brengen voor extra onderwijs. Dat is de inhoud van een petitie die de studenten van Platform Best woensdag 3 december zullen aanbieden aan het bestuur van de Universiteit van Amsterdam. Dat zal gebeuren aan het einde van een studentendemonstratie voor het Amsterdamse centrum. Het bestuur van de Universiteit van Amsterdam mag studenten geen kosten in rekening brengen voor extra onderwijs. Dat is de inhoud van een petitie die de studenten van Platform Best woensdag 3 december zullen aanbieden aan het bestuur van de UvA. Dat zal gebeuren aan het einde van een studentendemonstratie door het Amsterdamse centrum. In de afgelopen 2 weken hebben meer dan 5000 UvA-studenten en docenten de petitie op onze actiewebsite www.diploma-innenhamarbinen.nl getekend. De manifestatie begint om 12 uur in het centrum. De studenten zullen zich via de Dam begeven naar het Magdenhaus. Daar zullen zij hun petitie overhandigen aan de voorzitter van het College van Bestuur, CVB, Karel van de Toor. Omdat er signalen zijn dat het erg droog zou kunnen worden, wij hopen van harte dat dit correct blijft. Roepen wij mensen die willen meelopen wel om enige flexibiliteit te tonen in hun aanwezigheid en bijvoorbeeld indien het erg vol blijkt op het binnengasthuisterrein pas op het roken of de Dam aan te sluiten. Meer informatie over Platform Best, de demonstratie en de route is te vinden op www.platformbest.nl. That was Zibaboo. They made a great concert for releasing their new CD, and that is this new CD. It was very nice concert with the Brain Dead and the other band, it was very nice atmosphere, like usual. All crowd was dancing. Zibaboo made a great show and great performance as well. It's one of the best and nicest bands active not only with music but with playing on demonstrations and being active ecologic squatters. They're making workshops with teaching the children playing music and be alternative. That's also thankful. Anarchistische Buchenmark Utrecht op 20 december vindt de 10th Anarchistische Buchenmark in Utrecht plaats. Je kan dan weer de nodige maatschappij kritische waar aanschaffen, zoals kleding, muziek, brochures en natuurlijk boeken. De anarchistische markt zal vanaf 11 uur plaatsvinden in de Moira. De organisatiesgroepen die tot dusver hebben aangegeven om te komen zijn Antifa, Atalanta, Silly Screens, Kelder Oudheverij, nog pas gisteren in Idenei, De As, Jan Berger, De Vrijdenker, AHA, ABC, Zeepkist via NL, GroenFront, Vrije Bond, Olive Bomen Campaign, Palestina, Rode Raad, X-Y, Zwart en Rood. Ja, the old program you could read in the media. We are running out of time a bit.
Okay, soon we're gonna play the Guerrilla Gardening, the next chapter.
Yeah. it's Manuel Festo. I will continue a little bit longer. Right. Where to start? This is chapter 2. You do live here, so why aren't you home by now? Blockbusters, Starbusters, Mac Taco King. Where are we? Could be almost anywhere. Cincinnati, Milan, Dalane. Cities are looking more alike every year. The feeling of being home in a special place where you belong, because it's a special place, has never been harder to muster. Just a generation ago, your identity was largely based on where you were from. Now we live in a small world, supposedly the global village, but what kind of village encourages isolation, alienation, disembodiment, and waywardness? No wonder one of the highest compliments we can give a person today, because it happens so rarely, is to call him or her grounded. I'm not exactly complaining. I know I'm lucky to have grown up in a time and a place that let me travel. I never felt pressure to stay on the farm or run the family business or keep Pottersville from swallowing my hometown. The flip side is that I can't even name my hometown. As the family of an Air Force major, we tended to move to wherever the Canadian military was most needed. Raised as a semi-nomad, I'd always been curious to see how real nomads live. The ones I eventually met seemed no less content or fulfilled than city people. So if you want to move, I say, move. Let the peoples of the world mingle and unite. If you want to marry outside your clan, marry outside your clan. Blends are the best anyway. When I was a boy, some of the schools I attended were as white as Wonder Bread. Today my children sit in class with kids from countries I can't even pronounce. Why do you suppose is learning more about how the real world works? But there is at least one thing we lose in the postmodern rootless go-anywhere way of life, a sense of caring for something that seems like home. You need to observe at least a few growing seasons to work not just on the land but with it. Poet Gary Snyder explains, to say we must dig in or here we must draw our line is a far more universal application than growing your own food or living in the country. One of the key problems in American society now, it seems to me, is people's lack of commitment to any given place, which again is totally unnatural and outside history. Neighbourhoods are allowed to deteriorate, landscapes are allowed to be strip mined because there is nobody who will live there and take responsibility. They'll just move on. Think eco-citizen. So how to reconcile the need to preserve and use local knowledge with the modern appeal of global mobility? You're never going to convince people who see better opportunities over the horizon not to move, particularly young people, nor should you try. But you may be able to get them to see the whole earth as their home. I know this sounds too simple or maybe too long-haired and hippie-ish, as if I'm pushing spaceship Earth. The Gaia principle, the mother provider, and all of that. Even if I am, it may not be in the patchouli way you're thinking. I mean instead to suggest that ecology is the best tool you can use if you hope to understand where you are, and you can carry it with you. Of course, local knowledge is indispensable. Which is why you'll often learn more about a new place from elders and from academics. And of course, Gary Snyder is right, but people are going to move, especially when they're young. Our ancestors did. Why do you think our legs are the most powerful muscles we have? We're built to walk all day. So until you do, settle into a place where you can make your stand. Why not develop some eco-awareness skills that work everywhere? Then you can be an effective guerrilla gardener no matter where you end up. It begins with land you're on, for whatever reason right now, where you can start making connections. Water is life. On some level, it's the answer to everything. Remember in the film All the President's Men, when Woodward and Bernstein kept themselves on the track of the crooks by repeating, follow the money. You will not go wrong in the natural world if you do the same by remembering, follow the water. You're in a watershed. In other words, an area of land that drains into a common body of water such as the ocean, a lake or river. You and the grand web of life supporting you share in the physical features of that watershed. It may look and feel markedly different from those of another watershed, even if it happens to be close by on the map. To know your watershed is to begin to know just where you stand on the earth. How do you find out about your watershed? Watch the elements. Rain happens, and then what? It has to go somewhere. It may be obvious, or you could get a topographical map of your area and figure it out by the elevations. Water finds its own level, and gravity always wins. So that level is going to be downhill. Alternatively, you can probably locate your watershed with a few minutes of net searching, or your local naturalist club or research librarian should be able to help. Find out your source of drinking water. It could come from rain or snow falling a surprisingly long distance away. Another potential surprise could come from a basic reading of your sewer system, only this time in learning how close by the result gets dispatched, especially if what you flush is delivered not far beyond your favourite beach. Dismaying perhaps, but this is information, and information is good. Particularly here, because it's helping you to see your city less as a place of street patterns or property districts and more as a natural part of the planet. It means you're learning to recognise the larger flow of things. Next, you might want to understand the air. Where does your weather come from? Your local TV weather buffoon is generally a reliable source, but pay more attention to the maps and the happy chatter. Notice which way the air flows come and go, because TV encourages viewing with only bovine interest. We tend to retain little from the weather forecast other than whether tomorrow will bring rain. But you can astound your neighbours with what you learn about the larger patterns by applying it the next time you're outdoors and change is in the air. Point to the sky and explain where those clouds are coming from and where they're going and why. Of course, where all this leads is up to you. Most gardeners go no deeper into understanding their own biological region than to find out what plant hardiness zone they're in. If you don't know your zone, someone at the local garden centre will tell you. Some gardeners place more faith in these broad restrictions than they do in their own children, but you needn't be bound to what are just guidelines. Others dispute the zone concept itself for ignoring local microclimatic factors, wind blocks, land depression, etc., and things such as humidity, length of growing season, and so on. And then there are the zone denial gardeners who delight in proving the experts wrong. Beyond all this, there's the bizarre weather everywhere these days, making the whole thing a crapshoot anyway, and possibly rewarding the foolish on board for making plant choices everyone else thinks are daft. Finally, there's the land itself. We'll get a little deeper into soil in chapter 4, but it would not hurt you at this point to understand a broad view of what your topsoil might be and how it got there. For example, I have a neighbour just living outside Vancouver in the lowlands formed by the delta of the mighty Fraser River. His yard is a rich loamy treasure of nutrients from hundreds of miles away brought in by the river. My neighbourhood at a higher elevation didn't get the same influx of sediments. Our soils are typically mixtures of clay, sand and glacial till, left behind when the last ice age retreated 11,000 years ago. What good does knowing this do? In my friend's case, it means his gardening chores are that much easier. He doesn't bother with soil conditioning or fertilizer regimes or making sure he gets the right micronutrients into the mix. Pretty much any plant he decides to plop into the ground is going to do well. But in my case, it means I have to look more carefully at the particular conditions of the patch I'm planting. If they're found wanting, I know I'll need to add more more organic material to the soil to ensure the plants get all they need to grow. Okay, I will continue with this next week. You're listening to Radio Patapu. It's 88.3 FM. Have a great afternoon. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. So enjoy your day. Thank you. We've died of starvation. When you're a guerrilla garden, you're an active participant in the living environment. You're no longer content to merely react to what happens to the spaces around you. You're a player, which means you help determine how those spaces get used. And when you're in tune like this, every plant counts. Guerrilla gardening is ecological, naturally, but how will you know? In most cases, it will be obvious. A healthy ecosystem tends to be a delightful place to be. It feels alive. Walk from a parking lot into a meadow. Go from a city's park baseball diamond lawn to a city park's mixed forest. That feeling you get of being at home, that's the one. When in doubt, the best yardstick is biodiversity. Does your project enhance the number and variety of living things at the site? Consider yourself an eco-soldier and march on. Guerrilla gardening is organic. Organic is like nature, a word that can mean almost anything. I use it here in two ways. One is to describe a gardening style free of synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. The other refers to the movement itself as a natural living growing phenomenon. Yes, you could break this rule in the garden. You could apply some Monsanto spawn death juice, like one of my neighbours, who once provided a perfect photo op by standing in the middle of a front yard consisting entirely of rocks and spraying Roundup on the sole dandelion plant, with the temerity to emerge. Sadly, I didn't have my camera at the time, but I urge you to forgo the death juice. Go organic, you'll feel better, so will the millions of living things on the tiny space you were tempted to zap. Yes, millions. I didn't count them, but other people did. The kind who wear white lab coats. They insist there are more living things in a teaspoon of soil than there are people on the planet. Even if they're off by an order of magnitude or two, that's still a lot of things living in the soil. Do you really want to lace it with poison? Guerrilla gardening is life-affirming. When we work like galley slaves on the land, not just for ourselves but for unseen others, it confirms our role as a positive force for good. This puts us in sync with the rest of the living world. Life, from its beginning more than 3 billion years ago, did not take over the planet by combat, said Austrian physicist Fritjof Capra, but by networking. Welcome to the club. Guerrilla garden is fun. Oh, I said that already. No matter, in comedy they call it a callback. It's good to hear it again and again until it's ingrained, because you'll want to have it like a mantra when you're outside and cold and wet and you've been digging for hours, only to discover that slugs have consumed every last leaf of the lettuce seedlings you're about to transplant. Note that the word fun is open to interpretation and can include squashing all the slugs you can find. Humour is famously elusive of definition. Okay, so that was chapter one. Out of the Guerrilla Gardening, you're listening to Radio Patapu, 88.3 FM.
Okay. Hey, in Sunday, The Mobile Picking Tafel will ask a not comfortable question about poverty on the millionaire first. What is the Mobile Picking Tafel? In a community art project, the Mobile Picking Tafel, MPT, for the Kunst and Theater of Ein honored Hodoxe in a lachtrempelige manier in gezegd ten behove van de dialoog rondom het thema armoede in de breedste zin van het woord in de binnenstad van Amsterdam. Op deze website vindt u een verslag van de MPT-routes langs diverse bij het project te betrekken mensen en organisaties die de kunstenaar in de maanden oktober, november en december 2008 ondernemen. Deze routes vormen de basis voor een groot project in 2009. Mensen worden geprikkeld om aan te schaffen bij de MPT. En hun stem te laten horen. Ook via deze website kan u uw stem laten horen door uw verhalen en uw tegelwijsheden op te sturen. Yeah, and the MPT will ask the question on the Sunday. 11 December, actie tegen miljonair fair. Dansen terwijl de wereld brandt, zou een passende ondertitel zijn voor de miljonair fair die van 11 tot 15 december in de Amsterdamse Rij gepland staat. De miljonair fair staat symbool voor de perverse ongelijkheid van het kapitalisme. In 2007 waren er maar liefst 118.200 miljonairs in Nederland. Een toename van bijna 10% van opzichte van 2005. Wereldwijd steeg aantal miljonairs met 14,3%. Samen bezitten zij 40,7 triljoen dollar. Tegelijkertijd neemt de armoede explosief toe. Het aantal mensen dat wereldwijd op de rand van armoede leeft, is in de afgelopen 2 jaar verdubbeld. 1 op de 4 mensen moet rondkomen van $1,25 per dag. Ook in Nederland hebben steeds meer mensen moeite om de eentjes en aan elkaar te knopen. Ruim 176.000 Nederlandse huishoudens hebben problematische schulden. Een exclusieve groep mensen heeft heel andere zorgen. Zij weten van gekheid niet wat zij met hun bergen geld moeten doen. Voor hen is de miljonair fair in het leven geroepen. Volgens de aankondiging is dit een evenement waar de absolute top van de internationale luxe industrie bijeenkomt om de meest exclusieve producten en diensten te presenteren aan een selectief publiek. Denk daarbij aan luxe jachten, privé vliegtuigen, botox-stalletjes, bloeddiamanten, bolides vanaf 1 lutele 5 ton en bontjes van beschermde diersoorten. De sommen geld die op dit soort elite feestjes omgaan kunnen beter benut worden, hogere belasting voor de superrijken en topbestuurders, Zau, et mochlaik maken de mensen te steunen die hun baan of pensioen dreigen te verliezen door de crisis. De welvaart van deze wereld zou gebruikt moeten worden voor de behoeften van de vele miljoenen niet-miljonairs, niet voor de luxueuze uitspattingen van de rich en famous. Daarom roepen de internationale op tot een luidruchtig protest bij de opening van de Millionaire Fair. Stuur dit berichtje door naar al je vrienden en kennissen en kom donderdag 11 december om 8 uur naar de Rai in Amsterdam en neem spandoeken, borden, potten en pannen mee. Laat de rijken de crisis betalen. Sluit de Millionaire Fair. And the aanvulling for this message, millionaires not fair. Inderdaad schande dat dit nog plaats kan vinden. Weten de heren en sommige dames niet waar ze met hun grote geld heen moeten? Ik weet het wel. Geef eens aan mensen die het moeilijk hebben en in de schuld zitten zonder dat ze hier iets aan kunnen doen. Geef aan ouderen die geen stroom en gas kunnen betalen omdat zij te arm zijn. Geef aan de zorg en de sociale voorzieningen opdat iedereen er gebruik van kan blijven maken. Denk ook aan het onderwijs. Geef aan duurzame non-profit energieprojecten die door burgers zelf zijn opgezet. Geef aan organisaties en kleine bedrijfjes die maatschappij zichtbaar en merkbaar verbeteren. Geef aan mensen die van één uitkering moeten leven omdat ze geen andere keuze hebben en die alles al hebben geprobeerd om in hun levensonderhoud te voorzien. Geef aan vrijplaatsen om ervoor te zorgen dat er nieuwe ideeën en veranderingen kunnen plaatsvinden wanneer de maatschappij in puin ligt om de boel weer opnieuw op te kunnen bouwen op menselijke maat. Geef aan duurzame landbouw en woonprojecten die door burgers zelf zijn opgezet. Geef aan milieuprojecten van burgers en kleine bedrijven. Geef op dat ieder huishouden met tenminste één zonnepaneel kan deelnemen aan duurzame en noodzakelijke verandering richting een minder van fossiele brandstoffen afhankelijke maatschappij. Geef aan mensen die zorg nodig hebben en niet anders kunnen. Geef aan organisaties die racisme en fascisme radicaal afwijzen, zodat zij aan de bel kunnen blijven trekken wanneer het weer misgaat met de verdraagzaamheid in Nederland en de rest van de wereld. Er is zo te zien genoeg om je geld aan te geven. Doen dus. Zolang dit niet gebeurt, moeten mensen, vooral de miljonairs, in de weg gaan zitten en blokkades opwerpen. In een economische crisis of recessie is er geen plaats voor graaiers. Recht op een fatsoenlijk leven en inkomen, werk, dak boven je hoofd en te eten geldt voor iedereen, dat is een basis mensenrecht en daar mag je nooit aankomen. Als het met de economie fout gaat, dan moet de boel gewoon met zijn alleen worden gedeeld, want iedereen moet overleven en niet slechts de top. Laat de rijken de crisis maar betalen. Okay, that was it about the Millionaire Fair's protest in 11 December by the Rai station at 8 and 7:30 Okay. One positive message from Animal Liberation Front. Tim Kalkunen sein befreit aus der Bioindustrie. In the beginning of November, the Animal Liberation Front rescued 10 turkeys from the meat industry. Those animals were being bred to end up as a Christmas meal. We saved 10 lives. Those animals will never be hurt. Those animals will get all the respect, love and warmth. We decided this action to bear a horn until the last cage is empty. Yeah, the photographs you could see on the in the media, there is link and one to photograph. There was a song about Rot Arme Fraction, thank for Rot Arme Fraction, and there is a movie which I think is worth to see. I didn't see it, but yeah, if you like to go to the cinema, Bader Meinhof, about revolutionary in Germany. Red und Panche. Vaccine Krackpanden verstrickelig out, mar meistal ist diese Verkrotung simpel weg zu weiten an der langdurige Leichstand. Sein Fehler vorbilden von Monumenten zu nehmen, die durch Krack von Slope sein gerät. Die gekrackte und abgeknappte Gebauen machen vervolgens Teil out von et Gesicht von ein Staat. Bovendien gebeurt et regelmatig, dat de gekrakte gebouwen na de kraak en eventuele legalisatie een publieke functie krijgen. Iets wat vaak niet het geval zou zijn geweest zonder tussenkomst van de krakers. Het herstel van Fort Panjerdam. Lingebaard. De geschiedenis van Fort Panjerdam is er vooral een van verwaarlozing. Voltooid in 1871 als voorpost van de nieuwe Hollandse waterlinie, werd het rond 1890 voor het eerst gemoderniseerd. Na de Eerste Wereldoorlog werd het fort in 1920 alweer afgedankt. In 1939 werd het tijdelijk in gebruik genomen. Op 11 mei 1940 werd het fort weer verlaten. Daarna heeft het fort jarenlang leeg gestaan. Alles wat bruikbaar was werd eruit gesloopt. Jongeren speelden er met gevaar voor eigen leven en ontsierden het met graffiti. Uiteindelijk werd het dicht gemetseld pas rond 1980 ontstond er weer interesse in het fort en werd geprobeerd om het tot één museum te maken. Dit project liep echter op niets uit. Stichting Fort Panierden kon de benodigde vergunningen niet rondkrijgen en raakte in financiële problemen aan het werk kwam stil te liggen. In 2000 werd het fort gekraakt en werd het een vrijplaats. Het fort was voor de krakers niet alleen een woning, maar ook een museum, een atelier voor jonge kunstenaars en een centrum voor allerlei andere activiteiten. Het fort werd voor het eerst sinds 1940 weer echt gebruikt. De krakers deden hun best om de authenticiteit ervan niet aan te tasten. Boren of werven was daarom uit den boze en men gebruikte vooral pen en hart verbindingen of zette dingen gewoon klem vast. Door de stokken werd de inwerking van vocht tegen gegaan. Dankzij de krakers van Fort Panierden was het fort sinds 2000 niet alleen voor zover mogelijk beschermd, het werd ook voor iedereen toegankelijk. Bovendien heeft het verhaal van het fort regelmatig de regionale en een aantal keer zelfs de landelijke pers gehaald, waardoor het fort op de kaart werd gezet. In 2006 werd het fort ontruimd door de politie met aanzienlijke steun van koninklijke landmacht. Kort hierna werd het opnieuw gekraakt, uit onvrede over het feit dat de ontruiming onterecht en bovendien nutteloos was. Geen ontruiming voor leegstand is al jaren een strijdkreet van krakers overal in Nederland en er waren nog steeds geen serieuze plannen voor de miljoenen kostende opknapbeurt die het fort zou moeten ondergaan voordat het rendabel commercieel te exploiteren zou zijn. Sinds december 2006 zijn de voormalige krakers van het fort door Stichting Fort Panierden met instemming van Staatsbosbeheer en gemeente Lingewaard ingezet als beheerders. Tot de werkzaamheden echt van start gaan houden. Zij het fort in de gaten en verzorgen zij rondelei dingen voor belangstellenden. De krakers hebben het fort inmiddels verlaten en de sleutel overgedragen aan de burgemeester. debat. It's debat that the last tide over Kraken Fortvoort is behoorlijk eenzijdig. Het lijkt wel alsof er één mantra herhaald wordt dat draait rond uitspraken over profiterende buitenlanders, geweld en overlast. Met dit hoofdstuk breekt de redactie het debat open en wordt er één andere blik op de zaak geworpen. Er valt immer zoveel meer te zeggen over Kraken. De auteurs van de verschillende opinieartikelen bespreken veroordelen over Kraken en betogen dat Kraken nog steeds hard nodig is. Stigmatisering van Poolse krakers. I'm Poolse kraker. Who's here? How I'm dangerous. Jan Kapper. Misschien komen niet alle krakers toe aan het verbeteren van de wereld, maar in het geval van de voormalige krakers van de korte Leidse Dwarsstraat 163 worden deze door de VVD wel al te gemakkelijk afgeschilderd als asociale criminelen. In de bijbehorende fotoreportage is te zien hoe dezezelfde Poolse krakers een totaal verkrote woning in korte tijd prachtig opknapte. Situatie eigenaar. Wat was het verhaal van de eigenaar? Het pand aan de korte Leidse Dwarsstraat was het enige pand in zijn bezit. Hij kocht het 10 jaar voor de kraak voor eigen bewoning. Hij ging zelf wonen op de leegstaande bel- en sous-etage. Op de eerste en tweede verdieping woonde een oude dame die de 2 jaar voor de kraak overleden was. Het pand was toen al tamelijk verkroot, maar de eigenaar slaagde er niet in de verbouwing voor elkaar te krijgen. Verhaal volgens de krakers. Volgens de krakers stonden de bovenwoningen 2 jaar leeg toen deze gekraakt werden. Wegens bedreigingen door de eigenaar die beneden woonde, hield een eerste krakgroep het voor gezien en verhuisde er een tweede krakgroep in. Op dat moment werd door te doen van de VVD het pand overspoeld door media-aandacht. VVD'ers Bas van het Woud stelde dat de krakers over de baby van het gezin geen plaats plasten. Zoals later uit de beelden van Atefai zou blijken, ging het echter om hemelwater dat vanaf het rode dak 3 verdiepingen lager langs alle muren slijpelde. De op deze situatie afgekomen mensen van het Kraakspreekuur Oost bemiddelen in de situatie en kregen binnen 24 uur de krakers met de huiseigenaar en enkele bezorgde boeren aan één tafel. Spoedig werd de afspraak gemaakt dat de krakers zich niet zouden verwerren en dat een door de eigenaar opgestarte kansloze juridische procedure zou worden ingetrokken. De krakers spraken af binnen 2 weken te vertrekken. De rust was weer gekeerd. De eigenaar draaide op zijn beurt de waterkraan van de bovenverdiepingen weer open, zodat de hygiënische toestand verbeterde. Daarnaast werd over in, over any comment that the crackers in the Tucentite
zaścisk door
at house
zały lopen and that the Echenar need mir Fausten zweiend
nach the crackers
zau to comment. Nie mieli co robić z własnym życiem.
Watheburde, Erme, the crackers. The selfie crackers have been at Verlaten van et Pand, met Hulp van de Krakbeweging, and Woning in Amsterdam, Oosche Krak. Deze corporatie Woning stond leeg nadat de vorige hoerders waren uitgeplaatst wegens stankoverlast door een verstopte riolering. De woningcorporatie had echter sloopplannen en voerde verder geen reparatie uit. Toen bovenbewoners klachten over stankoverlast, gaf de corporatie geen thuis. Na de kraak werd de ernstig vervuilde woning waar rioolwater maandenlang over de vloeren stroomde opgeknapt door de bewoners. De bewoners die de media-aandacht meer dan zat zijn, willen niet dat hun adres hier wordt genoemd. Voor vragen zijn zij via het Kraakspreekuur Oost bereikbaar. De situatie van Echenar. Waar is de VVD? De Echenar van het beruchte pand aan de Korte Leidse Dwarsstraat woont ten tijde van dit schrijven nog altijd met zijn vrouw en twee kinderen op een overvolle etage. Zomer 2008. Op de bovenetages die eerder gekraakt waren, laat de eigenaar een huurder zonder huurcontract wonen met wie de eigenaar het net als met de krakers ook al niet kan vinden. De verbouwing is nog altijd niet aangevangen en het monument verkroot verder. Het blijkt maar dat het de VVD niet te doen was om het helpen van deze eigenaar. Het ging dat VVD er slechts om de krakers de schuld te geven van de problemen van de eigenaar. Problemen die nog altijd voortduren. Krakers hebben recht op wederhoor. Ombudsman tikt media en politici op de vingers aanhande weergave van situaties omtrent kraken. Het is opmerkelijk dat een meerderheid in de Tweede Kamer afgaat op berichten in de media met feiten die nog niet bewezen zijn. De politici checken die feiten kennelijk zelf ook niet. Dat maakt eens te meer de verantwoordelijkheid van de journalistiek duidelijk voor oor en wederhoor. Lees verder op 15 januari in het echte witboek. De witboek presentatie, witboek kraken presentatie, would be at 15 januari at the Illusies Hofburgstraat 2 in Den Haag. Okay, that was it, and soon our blogger will tell us about the blogging workshop and fair trade campaign for Christmas.
To do with my time in space, reality has always been forced into my face, looking for some motivation to get me back on track. My hope lies solely now in social contact. Please distract me.
This emptiness.
Please distract me.
Hello there and good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Patapu in Amsterdam. It's a Cookie Mouse, and I'm here basically this afternoon to talk about the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop, which is a new community that's been set up recently in Amsterdam basically freaks who are interested in blogging, social media, photography, videos, sharing content and activism online. And we have our own blog, we have our own Flickr page and different platforms basically. And also something totally brand new, from about a half an hour ago, we also have our own Twitter, which is a rather exciting development because as maybe a lot of you know, in the last few days, in the terror attacks in Mumbai, a lot of the bloggers in India were using Twitter to communicate with each other and also with the wider world, and to try and get help for people who were caught up in the attack. And so basically, Twitter came of age in India last week and proved that people can organize themselves in a crisis to get help and to communicate with the outside world. And in Le Web in Paris on the 12th of December, there's going to be a new Twitter clone that's going to be launched called Shoutem. And Shoutem is a startup that has been set up by a couple of guys from Croatia. And basically what it allows you to do is to set up your own little Twitter micro-blogging community. And the Cookie Mouse and the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop signed up this afternoon about a half an hour ago, and now we have our own little Twitter here in Amsterdam, which is exciting. And we'll be sending out beta invites to people. And if you follow, there's a blog on Blogspot called Amsterdam Blogging Workshop. And if you follow that, over the next couple of days, we're going to be showing you how you can get an invitation to join the network. And basically, as you probably know, Twitter and the clones of Twitter are basically a microblogging platform where you send out short messages to the wide world and you build communities. And basically, you can connect with pretty well anybody that you want to tell the world about what you're doing and whatever. And the idea of Shoutem is that people can set up their own microblogging community, so that if you have a particular project that you're working on, like in our case a blogging workshop, you set up your little microblogging network, and then you can, everybody in it can communicate with each other and send each other their updates. So that's the latest. And also, we're going to be having a launch party sometime in the very near future. There's an organization called The Hub, and they've just come to Amsterdam. They're based in London and various other places around the world, including Mumbai in India and various other points on the compass over the planet. And they've now come to Amsterdam, and they had their launch party a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to be working together hopefully with these guys as well. And the idea basically is to build a network of networks, so that people have spaces where they can go to if they have creative ideas and projects that they want to get off the ground, that they can get into a network as quickly as possible to realize their ideas. Because in a way, it's not so much getting the big idea that is the most difficult thing. Everybody has an idea, but it's getting that idea out into the world. And all of those ideas, all of these projects, are competing with everything else. And the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop, along with the Cookie Mouse, have decided this Christmas that we're going to focus on fair trade. And in the weeks coming up to Christmas, we're going to be putting out videos, and we're going to be doing interviews, we're going to be getting links, and we're going to be promoting all the different aspects of fair trade coffee, fair trade chocolate, fair trade cotton t-shirts and hoodies, and having a look and seeing who's involved in developing countries, in Amsterdam, in London, in the wider world, in the States, in the whole area of fair trade, and basically focusing on that up until Christmas. So in a way, this is exactly the kind of thing that I've been talking about before. People can use these different tools like blogging, like microblogging, and all the other different platforms on the internet to get out their message, for example, like a message of fair trade, to find other people who are working on the same thing, and basically to build communities that can get those ideas out into the wider world. It's a little bit like having an ecology in the natural world where you're basically competing with everybody's attention, because the one thing we've got a lot of these days is we've got a lot of content, we've got a lot of products that we can buy, we've got a lot of choices. What we don't have is very much time. And so to grab our attention for pretty well anything is always difficult. If we feel very strongly about something, how do we get everybody's attention and say, hey, look, we've got to do something about this? I mean, for example, how do we persuade people, why not buy fair trade coffee? Why not drink a cup of fair trade coffee? You drink coffee every day, it's not too expensive, so why not buy fair trade? How do we get that message out there to people? And how do you grab people's attention when they don't have very much time? And basically, this is what the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop is all about. It's basically an educational project to empower people and explain to people just how you do that, just how you work with social media to get your ideas, get your projects out there, build your communities, and also to work on the increasingly large digital divide. Here in the West, we all have our laptops, we all have our mobile phones, we all have our cameras, we all have our reasonably comfortable lifestyles. And so to get into the world of social media for us is relatively easy. But what if you're in the middle of Africa? What if you're in some little village in India where they don't even have an internet connection? What if you're somewhere in Latin America tucked away and maybe you've got a nice little project, maybe you want to get your stuff out into the wider world? Well, how do you do it? One of the things that we want to do is we want to find ways of bridging that digital divide. So while the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop will be based in Amsterdam, it's a global network. We already have people in San Francisco in the States, in Chicago, in Mumbai in India, in London, and Australia. And all of us are working on the same basic idea of how to make a digital community that is accessible to everybody, wherever they are. And how do we get people to understand how to get the best out of the technology and use it and humanize it? And this, of course, is what we saw in India last week. As a tragedy was unfolding, the Indians, particularly those that live in Mumbai, are very tech-savvy people. They're very much up to date on what's going on in the world. So they use stuff like Twitter and Blogger to deal with the crisis. And you were able to follow events in real time, and they were able to get help to people. People were able to ask, hey, what about my family? What about my friends? We need help over here. And they were basically using all these social media tools to cope with what was a huge crisis. And this is basically the idea behind what we want to do. Also, for activists, people who want to protest about something, point out an injustice, how do you do it? How do you combine the real world and the events in the real world with the virtual? And basically, that's our mission. So there it is. So, do we have any questions from the audience?
How we can join to the blog workshop? Yeah, online, offline, how it works?
Well, basically, we meet up 2 times a week in Amsterdam, and we also have an email address where people can contact us. And we are also looking for contributors to join us on the blog, because we're trying to build a community of contributors. So if you go to the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop blog, you'll find contact emails there where you can get in touch with us and tell us what you want to do, and then you can join the community, basically become a subscriber, become a member, become a contributor, and it's as simple as that. Yeah.
Is it difficult to blog, to make your own blog? Because, yeah, I could imagine for some people it like magic.
Well, I think if you have your own blog, I think it's hard work. I think to keep a blog going and actually get readers. I mean, basically, blogging as such is very easy. If you just blog for yourself, it's a fairly easy thing. But if you actually want to get readers and you want to interact with other bloggers in the wider world, it is a full-time job. And so our solution to that was, well, look, if we build a community, then we have different people, for example, who are into, say, music or who are into nature or different things, so that they don't have to maintain a whole blog. They just make the contributions when they have something interesting, maybe another festival or some news, and they put it on the blog, as does everybody else. So that's the idea of having a community. So the blog belongs to the community, effectively, and that makes it easier for people. And also, of course, we explain to people how they do it. We teach them online as well as teaching them in the real world as well. So as I say, I mean, basically, the simple answer is doing it as a community is a lot easier than doing it on your own, because there are more of you basically contributing, and of course that makes it all the more interesting. Yeah. And then of course you need administrators, obviously, who make sure that all the links work properly and all the code works properly and the design of it and layout and stuff like that. And of course, this is the exciting thing about the microblogging platform, because that is really easy to join, because all you basically do is you sign up with your email and you have a username, and then you start to put out your little messages in the community. That's really simple, basically.
And could you tell about the campaign more about Fairtrade? Are the Fairtrade organizations also involved in it? What are your plans?
Well, basically, we've got two approaches here. The first one is to actually identify projects in developing countries. Obviously, we're going to be focusing on what is already widely known in fair trade, and that is basically coffee, of course. Chocolate is quite well known. And cotton is another commodity that has quite a presence in the fair trade marketing world. And so we will be identifying fair trade projects in developing countries, and then we will also be identifying organizations in Europe and in the States that are the certified fair trade organizations and the projects that work with them. So basically, we'd be pointing out to people where they could, if they're in Amsterdam or if they're in London and they want to get a fair trade t-shirt or they want to get fair trade coffee, where do they go? Who do they get it from? And what are the options that they've got? That's the basic plan. It's quite exciting, actually, because it's surprising the extent to which, for example, with fair trade clothing, you can actually customize a lot of the fair trade things now. Most of the fair trade clothing is fair trade, it's organic, you can put your own logos and photos on it, and there's a lot of new developments out there. And of course, also, I think we also want to explain to people that, for example, if you take the fair trade coffee market, fair trade coffee is actually better quality coffee than regular coffee, because the producers get a better price for it, and so they grow a better coffee bean, because it's easier to do so, because they can invest the time and the money in looking after the coffee beans better. It's pretty well fair enough to say that fair trade coffee actually tastes better than the regular coffee, and so it's very much a case of informing people where they can get the stuff, and also the advantages of it, and in a way the value that fair trade gives us so that we create a better world for ourselves as well as for other people by buying fair trade products, basically.
Yeah, I think grown with love, could be drunk with love, and that's a mutual reaction from both sides. This energy, what we are giving to the people who are making the product, we getting back as a thankful for our better choice, I think.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I was looking at a coffee project in Uganda the other day, and of course Uganda is a country that many years ago had an awful lot of political problems the same way as we have in Zimbabwe at the moment. And it was incredibly interesting to see how fair trade coffee, for example, was helping a community to get a better education for their kids, to look after their environment, and to be proud of what they were doing. And it was quite an inspiring thing to see. And you have these small projects basically now all over the world. In the States, for example, fair trade is actually one of the fastest growing segments of the food industry. It is amazing how many people in America are actually turning to fair trade. And it's definitely something that is very much on the increase and has got enormous potential. And even now, in a time when we have an economic recession, it's still fair to say that the demand for fair trade products is on the increase. There's more awareness, and there is certainly far more interesting products and variety available out there today than there were even a few years ago, actually. So that's a very positive development.
Yeah, I think it's also, you mentioned the crisis, and I think the one thing what can take out us from the crisis is thinking about your neighbors, thinking about the other people, thinking about the people in the third world countries. That's if we will think about it, we would not need any insurance or whatever. Thinking about the old people, like our grandmas and opas, that how it used to be, and I think we should come back to these values that we are thinking not just about ourselves, but with buying the things, we are thinking also about the people who are producing them, and we are not exploiting them, but helping them, and in that way there would be no crisis in the third world countries, and in that way the people who are working here also would be not in crisis. The one solution would I see for the poverty, or which is serves us by capitalism, is to learn how to help to each other. I would say, for example, the Footnote Bombs groups, the people who are not rich, who are mainly poor squatters, they are cooking meals, vegetarian meals for the other people, and they are sharing, and that's I think the way how we can survive.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I think that fair trade is also part of a much wider green agenda. I think there's a lot of talk going around at the moment, and I think there's a lot of truth in this, that the next big thing that is actually going to pull the economy out of recession is going to be green technology. In other words, another round of consumption like the last one or the one before is not going to work. So it's by adding value, by creating more sustainable technologies, that we're going to create the jobs and the livelihoods for the future. And you can see a lot of convergence in a lot of different areas of technology at the moment, so that it'll be possible in a few years' time to have far more greener options for energy consumption, for transportation, and a lot of other things. And of course, developing local food production and empowering people in developing countries to have sustainable agriculture, to get a fair price for their products. That's an absolutely key part of the whole process. It's so important that people in developing countries don't need, because of poverty, to have to leave their homes, go in crowding into cities, and really hand over their land to monocultures, but rather if they get fair prices for what they are growing, producing, they can stay where they are, they can educate their kids where they are, they can build a future for themselves, a sustainable future for themselves where they are. That's good for them, it's good for us, it's a win-win situation for everybody, basically. And I think that that's the key to the whole thing, and of course, basically, it's a case of getting the message out there, making people aware that these options are sensible, and that also that it's very easy. I mean, it's not a big deal to go into a store and buy a packet of fair trade coffee, and the price difference between fair trade coffee and regular coffee is not that much that it's going to be a big deal for most people. And so for the average consumer in the Western world, it's basically a fairly straightforward, simple thing to do. It's just a case of raising people's awareness so that they actually go out and do it. And that's why this Christmas we're going to focus on fair trade. We're going to keep the message very simple. Have a happy Christmas and a good holiday, and buy a packet of fair trade. Get some fair trade chocolate to give to your kids or your family or your friends as presents. Buy sustainable Christmas presents. You know, if you want to buy your girlfriend some nice clothes for Christmas, go and buy her a fair trade organic fashion item. And I think that that's basically the point of the whole message that we're basically trying to get out there. Have a sustainable and a happy Christmas season is our idea. Have a fair trade Christmas.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was, I think when we are close to the Christmas, I would like to say about the Christmas poster of the Spirit of Squatters. It attacked again the city slowly because there is not so much people spreading it, but hopefully in the future it would come more. I would like to read these posters for you, and probably I will read it every week. And because there was no room in the inn, they squatted a stable. Merry Christmas for squatters and other good people. Good energy, successful actions, more love and freedom, and life satisfaction. That's I especially dedicate this message to the so-called Christians from the CDA and CU, who are for banning the squatting. And I would like to remind that the small Jesus was also in the situation that many squatters families are, that many squatters are, that they don't have place, and if we will ban the squatting possibilities, that there would be more poverty on the street. And according to the other poster of Spirit of Squatters, Jesus said, everything what we did for our smallest brothers, we did it for him. Yeah, that's the point, to see the God in every human being, to every human being treat as a God. And
to get fair trade products instead of products which are exploiting children. I ask somewhere the questions, how would, what do you think, which kind of energy a child is getting with a toy which is produced by other child which is exploited in the factory in the third world countries? Or would the chocolate, even if it's the in the shape of the beautiful heart, would give so much love if you would know that this chocolate is made on the farm where the children are exploited? Is it so tasteful also with this fact that you know about it? Is it not more tasteful if you get fair trade chocolate? Is it not more truthful and more full of love? If you like to give good energy for your beloveds in this Christmas and in any day, go for fair trade.
Well, just a very little quick sort of comment to say that I've just put a little, I don't know what they call, on Twitter they call these things tweets, but I don't quite know what we're, I think on the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop, I noticed we call them shouts. So I've just put a shout up saying, talking about fair trade on Radio Patapoo, there it is, it's out there on our own little Twitter. Mockham Social Media goes live today. I think the exciting thing about this is actually the first time that the Amsterdam Blogging Workshop has been invited to a public beta before the launch of a new platform. So we're actually going to be in on the ground before the web in Paris, which is very exciting, and I hope that lots of people are going to join us and make it a really exciting little microblogging network, and everybody can get shouting at each other online. Okay, well, it's lovely talking to everybody, and I hope that everybody who's listening has a lovely evening and a good week, and we see you later. Okay. I just keep babbling a few more seconds till the music comes on, and there he goes. Okay. Take care.
to remember me. I wonder if they recall our dreams come true.
So, perhaps in part of television, medical, economic, emotional effects. The haze of drunken stupor had that those polemics have more great position on the subject. Hopefully, you can drop the ravenous ones would continue to lambast and harangue while spitting and drawling on their victims. It is a universal characteristic of drinkers that they encourage everyone around them to drink, that bearing those hypocritical power plays between lovers or partners, parents and children, at least they prefer their own choices to be reflected in the choices of all. This strikes us as indicating a monumental insecurity not unrelated to the insecurity revealed by ideologies and recruits of every stripe, from Christian to Marxist to anarchist, who feel they cannot rest until everyone in the world sees that world exactly as they do. As you read, try to fight off that insecurity and try not to read this as an expression of our own either, but rather, in the tradition of the best anarchist works, as a reminder for all who choose to concern themselves that another world is possible. For more preposterous treatises, or to send an angry inebriated repartee, please write to Crime Think. Chapter of Alcoholic Autonomous. A great amount of text is available online for reading, stealing, or otherwise commandeering for use at your own discretion. Feel free to pay us a visit at www.crimethink.com, or if you are looking to contact others in your area, you may try to our Siberian Network experiment, www.crimethink.net. The last page. It's no exaggeration to say that alcohol has played a key role in the epidemic of fascism, racism, statism, imperialism, colonialism, sexism, and patriarchy, class oppression, religious superstition, and all the other products of hierarchical authority that has swept the earth over the past few millennia. It continues to play that role today as people of the whole world, finally universally domesticated and enslaved by globalized capitalism, are kept pacified and helpless by a steady supply of spirits. Those evil spirits squander the time, money, health, focus, creativity, awareness, and fellowship of all who inhabit this universally occupied territory. Work in the curse of the drinking classes, as Oscar Wilde said. It is not surprising, for example, that the primary targets of advertising for malt liquor, a toxic byproduct of the brewing process, are the inhabitants of ghettos in the United States, people who constitute a class that, if not tranquilized by addiction and incapacitated by self-destruction, would be on the front lines of the war to destroy capitalism. Yeah, the agenda from the Anders active in Amsterdam. Thursday, 4 December, Debat Nederland and the Wappenhandel om 8 uur, Felix Meritis, Kaisergracht 324, organization campaign against weapon handle, www.stopwappenhandel.org. Friday, 5 December, Wake Frauen in Het Zwart, kwartier tot 1 tot kwartier tot 2 uur bij het Lievertje op het Spouw, www.vrouweninhetzwart.nl. And oh yeah, I would like to add that the students' crack speaker started again on the Schoolstraat 4, I think the number, and it's every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30, something like that. Okay, soon we will start the Polish Quarter.
Okay. On the end, I would like to add that every Tuesday from 8 till 9 is ATV, Freie Kaiser TV, on the at the one TV channel, Alternative TV. Every Tuesday from 8 till 9, Freie Kaiser TV on ATV 1 TV. And also today at 6 already started the info evening about the permaculture, and there would be some nice movies about how Bill Mollis set up the permaculture. Okej, okay, teraz zaczynamy polski kwadrans. Mała rzecz cieszy, rozdział z życia aktywisty. Dziś pod osłoną nocy, gdy wyszedłem z psem, wziąłem z sobą wózek oraz klucz francuski dużego rozmiaru. Mocną rączką Francuza podważyłem niczym łomem płytki chodnikowe. Tworzyły one zapomnianą, niedokończoną drogę donikąd. Kolejny projekt, który upadł przez korupcję. Pewnego razu, spacerując wraz z Papryką w moim sąsiedztwie, zainspirowany partyzanckim ogrodnictwem Guerrilla Gardening, wpadłem na pomysł, by zwrócić ten teren naturze. Od tamtej pory, za każdym razem, gdy wychodzę z psem w nocy, staram się uwolnić Matkę Ziemię z paru płytek betonowych. Potem je podrzucam moim przyjaciołom, którzy robią inny ekologiczny projekt i mogą je wykorzystać dużo lepiej. Zawsze się zastanawiam, czy nie za dużo ryzykuję, jak na taką tak małą akcję?
I know where he is, I know where he is. If you want to find the general, I know where he is. He's pinning another medal on his chest.
Z drugiej jednak strony sobie myślę, gdyby więcej ludzi robiło podobnie, to moglibyśmy odzyskać wiele zieleni w tych betonowych dżunglach. W końcu największe zmiany to te, które dokonujemy sami w sobie, a najdłuższa droga zaczyna się od pierwszego kroku. Wołam więc, naprzód, miejska ekologiczna partyzantko, noc należy do nas. Usuńmy beton, sadźmy drzewa, dajmy zieleni oraz sobie oddychać. Na miejscu płytek, bakwicem, to ten rower z przyczepą na przecie, poprzywoziłem wiele liści, które w innym wypadku zostałyby sprzątnięte. Ostatnio znalazłem porzucone drzewka, które jakiś mało myślący człowiek wykopał ze swego ogrodu. W moim partyzanckim ogrodzie znalazł schronienie. Potrzebuję też miejsca, gdzie będę mógł sadzić porzucone choinki, które rosły przez parę lat, po to tylko by cieszyły dzieci tylko przez 2 tygodnie. Na wiosnę planuję zasadzić tam dynię i inne warzywa. Miejsce jest publiczne, nie moje. Ja tylko pokryjomo nie dbam. Jeśli ktoś skorzysta z moich plonów, to też dobrze. Mniej podróży, mniej pieniędzy, więcej czasu w naturze mamy dzięki hodowaniu jedzenia samemu. Brak ogrodu nie jest przeszkodą. Zawsze możemy zaskłotować jakiś nieużytek jak ja. Usuwanie płytek chodnikowych nie jest niczym nowym. 15 lat temu na mojej ulubionej dzielnicy Amsterdamu, The Pipe, skuterzy wraz z innymi ludźmi z sąsiedztwa zaczęli wokoło swych domów i skłotów tworzyć przydomowe ogródki. W tym celu demontowali od pół metra do metra chodnika wokół swych domów, wykopywali piasek i wsypywali w jego miejsce ziemię, a potem sadzili w niej kwiaty, krzaki, drzewa, bluszcze i tym podobne. Z początku nielegalna akcja miała swój dzień każdego roku i z czasem dosyć szybko została poparta i podchwycona przez wielu ludzi do tego stopnia, że teraz władze gminy sponsorują akcję, a z sąsiadującej dzielnicy Riverenburg, gdzie nie ma aż tak tylu skuotersów, miasto samo robi ogródki tym, co sobie tego życzą. Jeśli wjeżdżamy na Pipe z centrum, od razu widzimy diametralną różnicę. Wszędzie widzimy bujne ogrody wokoło kamienic. To efekt ponad 15-letniej tradycji ogródków wokół Twojego domu i z inauguracyjnym świętem ich tworzenia co roku w drugiej połowie kwietnia. Dnia tego zorganizowany jest festyn, gdzie prezentują się mniej lub bardziej lokalne i globalne organizacje socjalne i ekologiczne.
by umilić czas. Jest tam także program kulturalny, kulinarny, tylko wege i dziecięcy, a przede wszystkim duża góra ziemi, która w 100% ekologicznie rozwożona jest bakwisami do wszystkich, co o nią ubiegają. Cykliczna akcja jest wspaniałym przykładem, jak sąsiedztwo oraz skuterści wspierają się nawzajem w kreowaniu więcej zieleni w mieście. Jest to jedna z piękniejszych akcji, która tak podbudowuje, że mimo ogromnego trudu, na jaki się godzę, rozwożąc ziemię bakwicem, z miłą chęcią uczestniczę i będę uczestniczył w niej każdego roku. Właściwie to zawsze z niecierpliwością oczekuję tego dnia, w którym szczęśliwie poświęcam się ludziom oraz Matce Ziemi, rezygnując ze wszystkiego innego. Wspaniale jest później, jeżdżąc po dzielnicy, podziwiać, jak ogrody kwitną i się rozwijają. Żadna materialna zapłata nie zastąpi satysfakcji, że się im pomogło. W sumie to pieniądze by tylko wszystko zepsuły, bo to wspaniale jest robić takie piękne rzeczy za darmo. Tak po prostu, z miłości, z czystego serca. Podskryptum. Ta akcja jest tak piękna, że na pewno napiszę o niej więcej. I dzisiaj mieliśmy główny temat kontrabalczny innymi pieniędzmi. Sam się prosić o tych oraz klasę robotniczą na całym... Natomiast na projekcję z późniejszych adresach. Je rozdawaj, wiesz, w swym oku. Zresztą, że wszystkie zapłaty, wykład otwarty, działalność powszechna we klimatu, chroniąc jednocześnie prawdziwą przy kryzysu. System od środowiska, kolejny biznes, realistyczną rywalizację przeciwnych publicznej debaty. Uważamy, że również dając sobie sprawę wszystkim chętnym noclegu. Prosimy o organizowanie... Inaczej chyba nie umiem. Tak spałem. Numer łódzkiego DIY czasopisma Wolenia. Imprez 10.50 oraz podczas dyżuru w bibliotece Wyzwolenie na Kopernika 2 www.elba.cz. W krótkich miejscach pośrednictwem traktu się po WG Łódź DATO 2. Przy innych miast dzięki moście PP, Polskiej Poczcie lub Impostań, ale nie KPL. W tym numerze problemu WG 4 jest lożka z Łodzi, a wbrew temu 10 lat ja WG i tak dowiedziałem rzeczy. No tras ku Asi, Mateka, gdzie kupiłeś, piłaś swoje ubrania? Przed zina Scream at a Wall, autor Ciemax. Temat w okolicach Fairtrade recyklingu. Rewerowa Łódź, artykuł nie tylko dla rowerzystów, a dla nich jak najbardziej. Spanika gastroturysty, czyli weganka na wakacjach. X Marlene X pisuje swoją podróż autostopem przez Białoruś, w Holandię, Francję i Niemcy. Dużo wegańskiego jedzenia zwiedziła. Niekoniecznie wegańskie oznacza to, że zdrowe. Gatunkowizm, przedruk z czasopisma Otwarte Klatki, rasizm, gatunkowizm, seksizm. Ukraina, artykuł Martyny, przebywającej obecnie na stypendium we Lwowie, weganki, założycielki wolnej grupy Wege Killer Tomatus. Weganizm w UA, rowery, ekologia. Ryby czują ból, mimo tego, że dla wegetarian oczywiste jest odczuwanie bólu przez ryby. To jednak ktoś być może potrzebuje naukowych dowodów. Niestety w 2003 roku obie dowody zostały zdobyte, jednocześnie krzywdząc ryby. Jeżeli te wyniki badań kogoś nie przekonają do wyrzucenia ryb z jadłospisu, to proszę, użyj haczyka lub noża na sobie. Wędkarstwo. Zwięzły poradnik, jak nauczać wędkarzy zmiany hobby. Przepisy wegańskie, łuska, Fundacja Azyl, prośba o pomoc. WG Łódź, Grupa Biblioteka, wydawnictwo www.wegspace.com. Okejo. Obronna kalendar pandem, dodatek do rozdziału w losie buntownika, plus zagadka. Jedno w tej całej obronie było zadziwiające. Tak jak całe miasto, nawet i eksmisje były pokojowe. Gdy byłem w mieście X parę lat temu na demonstracji przeciwko ewikcjom w Wagenburgu, widziałem na własne oczy, jak koktajle Mołotowa kratami pakowane były na busa. Także proce były popularne wśród aktywistów. Tak na wszelki wypadek, by nie czuć się bezbronnie w razie ataków policji. tu, w Amsterdamie, mimo płonących barykad i kilkagodzinnego oporu, nikt nie myślał o tak niebezpiecznej broni. Amsterdam, niczym usposobienie Holendrów, był spokojnym miastem. Szybko się nauczyłem, że ktokolwiek agresywny, używający przemocy, widziany był przez większość jako idiota, a nie bohater. Dlatego nawet strategia obronna skutersów była dużo bardziej pokojowa niż w mieście X. Może to dzięki temu ruch skuterski utrzymuje się tu mocno od dziesięcioleci, podczas gdy w mieście X już prawie go nie ma. Co prawda, policja w mieście X też jest bardziej agresywna, co samo przez się nakręca spiralą przemocy. Na zakończenie zagadka. Miasto X to... Możecie zadzwonić do radia. Jak już wiecie, Dalai Lama jest w Polsce. Czy będzie w Polsce? Będzie. Od 5 do 12 grudnia. Do Polski przyjedzie 14 Dalai Lama Tybetu, Tenzin Gyatso, przywódca Tybetańczyków, laureat pokojowej Nagrody Nobla i jeden z największych autorytetów moralnych naszych czasów. W dniach 1 do 12 grudnia w Poznaniu ma odbyć się impreza dla 180 ministrów ochrony środowiska i innych ważnych notabli światowego lobby politycznego, biznesowego. Oficjalnie zjeżdżają do Poznania, by porozmawiać o emisjach gazów cieplarnianych i problemie globalnego ocieplenia klimatu. Jak zawsze przy tego typu okazjach sztab specjalistów od Public Relations zastanawia się, jak sprzedać społeczeństwu swoją liberalną wizję świata. Tym razem horror, jaki związany jest ze współczesnymi stosunkami społecznymi, dotyczący również stosunku do przyrody, próbuje się opowiedzieć na nowo. W formie bajki, w której złym bohaterem jest bliżej nieokreślone ocieplenie klimatyczne, a pozytywnym władza interweniująca na czas. Cóż za hipokryzja. Przyczyny kryzysu ekologicznego mają systemowe pochodzenie i związane są z funkcjonowaniem gospodarki opartej jedynie na kryterium zysku, której elity polityczne są strażnikami. Globalne problemy stanowią niebywale trudny temat. Ich rozwiązanie wymaga myślenia w kategoriach globalnych, a działania na poziomie lokalnym. Gdzie, jak nie tu i kiedy, jak nie teraz, mamy domagać się poszanowania naszych praw? To my przecież wybieramy ludzi, którzy nas reprezentują. To my doświadczamy efektów ich decyzji, podejmowanych za nasze pieniądze. Przepaści, jaka powstała między władzą a społeczeństwem, nie da się jednak zasypać tysiącem słów o problemie globalnej polityki i efektu cieplarnianego. Żądamy konkretnych działań i efektów. Organizacja tego poważnego spotkania w Poznaniu, w Polsce, jest mocno kontrowersyjna. Oto kraj, który przoduje w emisjach gazów cieplarnianych poprzez marketingowane zabiegi, stał się gospodarzem międzynarodowego spotkania dotyczącego ograniczania emisji tych gazów. Oto władze miasta Poznania, słynące z oddawania deweloperom pod zabudowę zielonych płuc tego miasta, ulegające za każdym razem lobby samochodowemu, szczycą się dziś organizacją międzynarodowej ekologicznej imprezy. Politycy naszego miasta, którzy jeszcze nie tak dawno o 1/4 podnieśli, zapewne w imię racji ekologicznych, ceny na przewozy transportem publicznym, W grudniu 2008 roku wypowiadać będą gładkie frazesy o znaczeniu ekorozwoju. Gdzie jesteśmy my? Gdzie według ich jest nasze miejsce? Przed telewizorem i przed urną wyborczą. To jest ich demokracja. Nie tym razem. W Poznaniu, jak i na całym świecie, coraz więcej ludzi doświadcza skutków owej polityki i nie zamierza biernie poddać się jej dyktatowi. Decydenci tego miasta i wszystkich państw, którzy zjadą się do Poznania, mogą być pewni, że dołożymy wszelkich starań, aby dni, które miały przynieść im polityczny poklask, zamieniły się w medialną i propagandową klęskę. Światowy Dzień Akcji w Obronie Klimatu. Co się wydarzy 6 grudnia? Wdrażajcie i nie debatujcie. Oprócz przedstawicieli 190 krajów, którzy na początku grudnia przyjadą do Poznania na konferencję klimatyczną, w związku z tym wydarzeniem pojawia się także mniej proszeni goście. Na manifestacje i alterszczyt zjadą aktywiści ekologiczni z całego świata. Będzie głośno, ale bez demolki, mówią anarchiści, też szykują demonstracji. Akcje alterglobalistów kojarzą się nie tylko z pokojowymi demonstracjami, ale także z zamieszkami, do jakich dochodziło m.in. na ulicach Pragi czy Genui. Czy możemy spodziewać się takich zdarzeń w Poznaniu? Organizatorzy alterszczytu zapewniają, że nie. Jaka jest idea kampanii alternatywnej Klimat Teraz? Chodzi nam o uświadomienie ludzi o problemie globalnego ocieplenia i współczesnych zagrożeń ekologicznych, wyjaśnia Przemysław Radomski, pełnomocnik do spraw szczytu klimatycznego z ramienia Stowarzyszenia Młodych. Chcemy też zmobilizować społeczeństwa do postaw proekologicznych, dodaje. Na co dzień to chociażby stosowanie żarówek energooszczędnych, wyłączenie z kontaktu urządzeń elektrycznych, gdy wychodzimy z domu. Nazwa akcji nie jest przypadkowa. Jej organizatorzy dążą do zmiany mentalności i postaw rządzących. Chcą ich uświadomić, że z ratowaniem klimatu nie można zwlekać. W tym celu należy zmusić polityków do działania i wdrażania ustaleń z Kyoto w 1997 roku. Od tamtej pory nic się nie dzieje. Musimy skłonić władze do wypełniania podjętych wtedy decyzji, mówi Radomskiemu. W praktyce oznacza to redukcję emisji CO2, inwestycje w odnawialne źródła energii, zmniejszenie nadmiaru konsumpcji energii. Głównym punktem alterszczytu będzie marsz kilku tysięcy alterglobalistów, ekologów, członków organizacji pozarządowych i związków zawodowych pod nazwą Klimat Teraz, który 5 grudnia w połowie ruszy z Placu Wolności. Następnie przez most teatralny przejdzie pod teren obrad konferencji klimatycznej, czyli MPT. Następnie świętym Marcinem aktywiści wrócą na Plac Wolności. Manifestacji będą towarzyszyć happeningi organizowane m.in. przez Stowarzyszenie Lepszy Świat i Stowarzyszenie Młodych W ten dzień kierowcy muszą się liczyć z utrudnieniami w ruchu ulicznym. Przewidywany koniec marszu to godzina 17. Manifestacja w Poznaniu wpisuje się w globalną akcję Światowy Dzień Akcji na Rzecz Klimatu. 6 grudnia takie demonstracje odbędą się m.in. w Nowym Jorku, Berlinie, Kalkucie, Atenach i Tokio. Jak zaznaczają organizatorzy poznańskiej demonstracji, nie będzie ona wymierzona w nikogo. Jak będzie wyglądać? Kolorowo, hałaśliwie, pokojowo. Nie będzie żadnych blokad czy demolki, tłumaczy Marcin Janasik ze Stowarzyszenia Lepszy Świat, jednego z kilku podmiotów zaangażowanych w poznański alterszczyt. Obok krytyki politycznej Zielonych 2004, Koalicji Klimatycznej. To będzie obywatelski lobbying. Chcemy pokazać, że ekologia, ochrona środowiska jest sprawą ponad podziałami i dotyczy wszystkich jednakowo. Mamy nadzieję, że w ten sposób nasz głos będzie słyszany, wcielany w życie przez rządzących. Wykłada ideę manifestacji Janasik. Poznańska kampania alternatywa Klimat Teraz potrwa 3 dni. zacznie się w piątek, 5 grudnia, częścią edukacyjną. W godzinach 14-18 na Wydziale Nauk Politycznych i Dziennikarstwa UAM i w CK Zamek odbędą się wykłady połączone z panelami dyskusyjnymi, w których wezmą udział naukowcy, członkowie organizacji pozarządowych, aktywiści. Ich zwieńczeniem będą warsztaty ekologiczne. Czy jestem odpowiedzialny za zmiany klimatyczne? W ten sposób organizatorzy chcą zwrócić uwagę na narastający problem globalnego ocieplenia i zmiany klimatu oraz wskazać, jak temu przeciwdziałać. Wieczorem chętni będą się bawić w Muchos Patatos. Trzeci dzień Alterszczytu, niedziela 7 grudnia, upłynie na zwiedzaniu miasta. Chętni będą też mogli wziąć udział w ogólnodostępnym panelu dyskusyjnym konferencji klimatycznej, gdzie debatować będą ekologiczne WIP-y. Inaczej na konferencję klimatyczną zapatruje się Federacja Anarchistyczna, która będzie w przeciwieństwie do uczestników kampanii alternatywnej demonstrować przeciwko hipokryzji i obłudzie szczytu klimatycznego. Dlaczego? Szczyt i alterszczyt to bzdura. Czas na dyskusję już dawno minął. Wszystkie kwestie na nim poruszane zostały już dawno ustalone. Brakuje ich wdrażania. A teraz biurokraci znaleźli sobie okazję do bankietu za nasze pieniądze, mówi Marek Piekarski z Federacji Anarchistycznej Poznań. FA zapowiada, że anarchiści będą w czasie konferencji klimatycznej widoczni w mieście. Konferencja klimatyczna pretensja do inwigilacji ruchów społecznych. Przed zbliżającą się konferencją klimatyczną w Poznaniu, która ma się odbyć między 1 a 12 grudnia 2008 roku, policja nasiliła działania inwigilacyjne wobec uczestników ruchu anarchistycznego i ekologicznego. Funkcjonariusze starają się oddziaływać nie tylko na aktywistów, ale także na ich otoczenie, dopytując natomiast ich działalności, przełożonych w miejscu pracy, rodziców, dozorców, domów. Celem takiego działania, nazywanego przez policję prewencyjnym, jest próba zastraszenia działaczy, wywarcia na nich presji. Dokładnie taki sam scenariusz miał miejsce podczas konfliktu wokół Rasputy czy protestu pracowników służby zdrowia w roku 2007, a wcześniej na przykład przed demonstracją przeciwko Europejskiemu Forum Ekonomicznemu w Warszawie w kwietniu 2004 roku. Środowiska anarchistyczne wielokrotnie wskazywały na tego typu działania, które są nielegalne w świetle obowiązujących przepisów. Policja w sposób nieuprawniony gromadzi informacje dotyczące uczestników protestów i członków różnego typu organizacji o charakterze społeczno-politycznym. Zatrzymuje się uczestników demonstracji. W 2007 roku zatrzymano według oficjalnych statystyk 180 osób. Wykorzystuje się aparat sądowniczy jako formę represjonowania uczestników ruchów protestujących przeciwko degradacji środowiska naturalnego, wojnie czy łamaniu praw pracowniczych. Przez kilka lat skazano setki działaczy, niektórzy z nich byli więzieni. Represje państwa nasilają się wraz ze wzrastającą ilością protestów społecznych. Nie będziemy milczeć w obozy w obliczu następującej brutalizacji policji. Wzywamy do masowego i aktywnego działania w protestach.
To by było na tyle. Ktokolwiek może jechać, kto chciałby jechać. Może będzie motywacją dla mnie, żebym też się tam wybrał. To by było na tyle.